No More Time is the new collection from Greg Delante, a poet born in Cork and now based in Vermont since the mid-1980s. Colin McCann has called him the laureate of those who have gone. These latest poems salute the natural world and are especially dedicated to all of those who work to slow climate change. Greg Delante joins me now from Vermont. Given what Colin McCann says there, Greg, about you, the laureate of those who have gone, a title like No More Time, are you worried that there will be even more gone before too long if we don't change our ways?
Sean, they're going already. I mean, today, practically every day now, there's an animal or plant going extinct, you know, and they're all connected ultimately to everything else. So that means that other creatures and plants and people will be affected. And then the climate change on top of that, which is all part of the whole thing. That's what the book was about. That's what the book is set against. There's no point then for me in not facing it. And I live a life too. You know, I've changed my life my own way to try and adapt. And you can't, I mean, putting my poems where my mouth is, you know what I mean? I have no solar on the house here in the home in Ireland, the solar going in, and I cycle all, I give up my car 5 years, I cycle everywhere, even do snowstorms to work. And, you know, I mean, I get carbon offsets when I travel, and I try, but with the new thing, the new COVID thing, then there's not much travel anyway. But anyway, you know, it is for sure trying to witness, really, all that's happening and give some hope, but real hope rather than making it up just for the sake of hope, you know?
It's interesting what you say about extinction, because in your preface to the book, you actually, the very first sentence, or two sentences in fact, read, extinction is a natural phenomenon. It occurs as a natural, quote, background, unquote, rate of about 1 to 5 species per year. So 1 to 5 species per year would be the natural way. What is happening at the moment, Greg?
Human beings, fossil fuels, etc., the amount, the population of human beings, it's nearly 8 million now, is affecting the natural world. And that means that in all the various ways, they'll all have their own particular ways of affecting us, the animals and plants and so forth. But there's thousands going extinct now at that rate rather than 4 or 5 every year. Every year there's thousands going extinct because of the way we're living in the world. And that's different than the natural. And that's going to affect us eventually as well, and our children in the future. And this is, I mean, we got to face it, you know. I mean, we can't just, I know the COVID and everything is terrible. And the COVID actually gives us a hope, because somehow the COVID, we seem to have reacted in a worldwide way. And so we're going to have to do the same with our fossil fuels and stop using them, really.
Yes, as you say, so we're looking at the current rate, scientists will tell us, is about between 1,000 and 10,000. So thousands of species disappearing every week, dozens go extinct every day. Let's listen to one of the poems, because if this particular species becomes totally extinct, we are in big trouble. Honeybee is the poem that you might read for me, Greg.
May I say something about the poem for a moment? The main book is broken into three parts, and the main sequence is called A Field Guide to People, and it's made up of 26 sonnets, one for every letter of the alphabet, suggesting all of nature, I suppose, and us. It's also written in Terzerimus style, harkening back to the world, the underworld of that Dante created, except that I'm putting the animals and plants into the underworld, suggesting that Christianity has very much at fault at distancing us from the natural world, apart from someone like St. Francis. So I'm suggesting that there, but they're love poems too, because there's a couplet at the end and they're sonnets. Anyway, but it's important for me that the structure is acknowledged, as well as what's been said in the poems, because we're going to have to change our structure. Anyway, this is to a poet, a Greek poet, who gave me honey from Spele in Greece, and the Delphic bee was the women who made prophecy at Delphi. Honeybee. It is time. Anoint thy tongue with honey. Local thyme honey from Spele, a gift from the Greek poet Caligaris, amusedly musing, honey to give your words wing lift. Back in the day, it was taken by the Delphic bee. Wake up, get busy, make a move, a shift. Apply propolis pronto. Impossible not to be a drama queen nowadays. Without Apis, the abyss will take over, unbloom many a garden, field, and wood. The honeybees are more waning than waxing, warns apiology. Queens, drones, nurses, guards, whole communities. Protect them. The amber labour force of ecology. Already this war comb is a fossilised apology.
That's Greg Delante reading his poem Honeybee from his latest collection, No More Time. I get the sense that that is almost a type of a prayer, or is it a cry? Is it a De Profundis type of cry that you're making there, Greg?
It's everything, I suppose, really. It's me just I say it's a kind of prayer. It is, yes. I can't, you know, it should be doing different things at the same time. It's hard for me to say what exactly yes. It is, you know.
You're going through your alphabet as you do in that opening section, and you get as far as M when you interrupt us with part two, breaking news. This struck me as perhaps a more political part of the book. Was that in your mind, or what was that break about?
Well, the whole thing is political, really, by the acknowledgement of the natural world and how we're treating it and how we're in it. But you didn't, yes, it was. The middle poems then were literally breaking news, how we must change, things we can do, things we should do, things I have done, and so forth. So because, as far as I'm concerned, like the academic or the poet or whoever in the ivory tower is much good right now. I mean, you have to make sense and you have to make action out of your knowledge. You know, I mean, it's terrible not to do that for me. We're all so lucky, really, in the Western world, but we're sitting on our asses, a lot of us. I mean, we could all do more. I could do more, you know.
If we were to change, if you were to change one thing, or if you were to advise people on one thing they might change, is there one that you think would help more than others?
Oh, dear. I do the copy there now, really. I mean, coal and oil, the cars, try and limit your driving in your car. I mean, I gave up my car, so as I say, I cycle everywhere. And actually, you know what? I've changed my life and I kind of dreaded it. But now even in snowstorms, I cycle into the middle of the town and I put my bike on the front in the middle of winter in Vermont, which is severe. It can go below 40.
I'd say.
But I tell you why I'm saying this is that actually I like it. I found that it's actually, I don't have to deal with car insurance, I don't have to deal with getting petrol, I don't have to deal with all the crap that goes with having a car, you know. And we think we won't be able to do it, but we can do a lot of the time without them. If you're living in rural parts and if you have children, perhaps it's different. But, I mean, we can get electric, the electric world, the whole thing has been held up also by the industry, you know.
Might go to another poem in that breaking news section, Greg. And this is an acrostic. I don't know if you can really help us here. I'd rather not say what the acrostic is to start out. People might listen carefully to the opening letter of each word at the beginning of each line here. Five lines in the first stanza, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the second stanza. It's a name, and the person's second name is in the first stanza and their first name is in the second stanza. Will you read it for us on viewing the roses of Heliogabalus?
I will, yeah. You were talking in the last book. I enjoyed the piano concerto with John O'Connor, which I love. I love the emperor and so forth. But and the last person was talking about the foolish, nutty, but clever politicians. And this is probably the main one in the whole world right now. And we know who. But it's called, I was looking at the roses of Hege, I can't even say it, but I can't say the other fellow's name either, Heliogabalus, and this terrible emperor in Rome at the time, he was worse than Nero, nearly, he did dreadful things. And there is an epigraph, Emperor Heliogabalus and his cronies sought to confound the order of seasons and climates, to sport with passions and prejudices of his subjects, and subvert every law of nature and decency. Anyway, there you are. That's a quote from Edward Gibbon. And the poem itself is, the emperor and his hobnobbing retinue recline on the high dais. Everyone gazes up at them from the floor. He winks to his chosen few, mutters, watch this for a trap, hollers, let's play, bring on the grand finale. Drinks his cup, a sign to drop the false ceiling of flowers on everyone below. You can feel nauseating petals catching noses and crying throats, levels rapidly rising, drowning everyone in pink roses.
Greg Delante with his poem On Viewing the Roses of Heliogabulus. And thee is the first word in the first line. Recline, up, mutters, play. They're the first letters, or the first words in the those lines, so you can work out.
Let's hope he'll become less known after the elections.
Yeah. You can see it much clearly when we look down on the page, I think, for sure on that. I was really struck by a title in particular. This is a poem that you translated from Sean O'Reardon, a title, Apathy Is Out. It really is. That's part of what you're saying in the book as well. No more time. Apathy is not a runner here for us, is what you're saying, essentially, Greg.
Ah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a fabulous poem. I think it's a breakthrough poem from in the 20th century, middle of the 20th century. That actually, this book is, I'm doing a whole book of translations that will come out of O'Reardon next year. And that's the title of the book, actually. Actually, O'Reardon saw that we're all connected. Whereas the start of the 20th century, a lot of the artists, and we all saw ourselves fragmented and so forth. He saw we were together and we saw it as natural. We need everything. And that's what that poem was. I mean, I can read it, but maybe it's no time now.
No, we can't get to it now. Yeah. We don't have time to do that. What you might finish up by reading for me is one of the shorter poems in the book, which is simply called S.
S, here we go. I leave this to your, what this is about. I've lost it.
Page 34.
Two lines. With the snaky handle of just one letter, the word, unsheathed from its scabbard, becomes sword.
Lovely. And on the page opposite that, you have a sentence in the shape of a cross. You like the shaping of a line on the page as much as anything else, Greg, it struck me.
Yeah, I mean, the structure itself involves the meaning. So I like playing around and giving it, and being appropriate in tandem with the meaning in sync. Yeah.
Thanks for speaking to us this evening. That's Greg Delante, and his new collection of poems called No More Times is published by Louisiana State University Press, simply known as LSU Press. And that is our lot for this evening here on Arena. Leah Murphy and Paula Shields researched. Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator. Sound supervision this evening was by Mark McGrath. And tonight's programme was produced by Olin McGowan. Talk to you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, once again here on RTÉ Radio 1.